Welcome to the Dad Zone, a podcast dedicated to inspiring homeschool dads, promoting healthy family dynamics, and preserving the freedom to homeschool. Now, here are your hosts, Joshua Sugata and Kevin Lawrence.
Welcome back to the Dad Zone. My name is Joshua Sugata, and I am extremely blessed once again and honored to be sitting here with the man, the myth, the legend, Kevin Lawrence. Yes, we have. We have this incredible desire to inspire men to defend the right to homeschool. And we also want to encourage men to take that active role in homeschooling and finally communicate the importance to lead and protect our families when it comes to homeschooling. And we are so glad that you are here. And we know that you are going to find that we are just two different dads who started down this journey with our families. We have two different backgrounds. And even though we may agree on some of our core principles, you know, Kevin, we homeschool.
We do.
Totally different ways.
Totally different. Our approach is completely different.
Yeah, and mine's not right or wrong. It's just different. Yours isn't right or wrong. It's just different.
Not right, not wrong. Not absolutes.
That's
we're not talking about absolute right. There are stuff in life that is absolutely right and wrong. But hey, if you want to homeschool in your pajamas at noon at the kitchen table, or do you want to homeschool beside the pool in the backyard? You know, it's
one
not right,
favorites,
not
yeah.
wrong. It's just a different
it's
way to do
different.
It, man.
Yeah, and so I thought one thing that would be maybe helpful, no matter where you are, you know, on your journey, because again, most homeschool dads are not the primary educator when it comes to homeschooling.
Yes,
and I think a lot of us are intimidated by that. You know, it's her thing. You know,
right.
she's you know, it's and that's
well, guys have it, and we'll get to our points here in just a minute. But you said something got me thinking. It's most guys are look, if I'm not here doing it, then what do I need to be here
yeah,
for?
Yeah, I'm all in or nothing.
Right,
I'm all in
because we get
thing.
Up and we go to work.
Yep,
we run our businesses. We do what we do because we're doing so. If I turn around and my wife is sitting at the table and she's doing the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, yeah. and they're going through history and geography. I don't need to be in this room.
That's right.
I've got other things to do. I've got work to do. You know, I've got football to watch. I got, you know, playoffs happening. I don't need to be a part of this. So what will happen is men will kind of think they really don't have a role in the overall leadership of the homeschool experience and the dynamic. And we're here to say, Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Dads, you are the most critical thing in the homeschool experience,
yeah.
and your involvement at any level is going to make a major influence and direct
yeah.
the family.
And if you think that your wife doesn't care about it, you're wrong. I mean, you're not right, you're wrong.
So this you are wrong.
You are wrong.
Okay,
so
it's not different, it is wrong.
So it is a little bit, and in that case, what we're talking, we actually have data that we'll unpack later in later episodes where we're finding that those who do educate, they want the support from the spouse or
yes.
the partner in that because it provides the guidelines and it provides some sort of structure. It doesn't mean it has to be rigid, but there's some sort of structure. You know, and you mentioned, you know, we go to our business or we go to work. There's clear structure, there's guidelines, and we know role we're supposed to play. But a lot of times, if the guy's willing to just sit back and say, well, that's her thing, and you don't provide that structure, then what happens? You have chaos that breeds from that. And then it's easy to say, oh, well, I told you we shouldn't have done this, and let's go ahead and bail on this, and we're going to no, it was
sure.
a waste of time. And so it's just extra stress and then can impact the marriage or the relationship. And so
sure thing.
We'll talk through some of that. And in regards to safeguarding that, I was hoping we could maybe possibly define some of the home education options within
yeah,
the state of
Arizona. Yeah, because how do you school your kid? Like, what are the options out there? And I think maybe this is just more my entrepreneurial mind as being self-employed for so many years, having my own business. I have to look at things from, well, what are the options? What are we trying to achieve? Like, what's the end in mind? I think the cool hip phrase now is reverse engineer it. If you reverse engineer, you know, like 15 years ago, it was begin with the end in mind. So however you want to phrase it to make you feel good, the point is, what are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to get to from an education standpoint with our kids, okay?
Yeah.
So here's some systems that Josh is going to go through as to what's available for you and your family educating your children. Now, I don't know where you're listening from, but in the state of Arizona, this is the home state of our podcast here, so we're going to approach it from what Arizona has. Could be different in your state. But so, Josh, what are the different parameters that moms and dads have for educating, just an overall education of their kids?
Good question. So there's six that I'm going to go through, and I thought, you know, it'd be cool. Maybe we need to increase our budget. But, you know, David Letterman has the top 10, the countdown. So, you know, number six, number five, number
four.
But I'm going to go through six.
Well, we need more money to find more options.
We need more sponsors. This episode brought to you by plants. They are everywhere. They breathe the air. Check out your plants today. All right, so our first option is going to be public school. So this might be your most common. So maybe, Kevin, you know, if you were like telling your friends and family you're going to homeschool, they're probably used to, you know, public school.
Public education.
Public education. And so I'm going to define that as tuition-free schools funded by state and managed through school districts. And so these six that we're going to go through, just so you're aware, there's some literature on the AFI.org website you could check out. If there's a whole blog section, feel free to go check it out if you want to. In Texas, there's a wonderful flyer that was created. So I'm going to read from there. The second option is charter schools. And so a lot of times you'll see them pop up on the corners and you might not understand the difference. And so a charter school is a tuition-free school funded by the state, and it's operated independently of school districts by either a nonprofit or a for-profit entity. And so we have public ed, charter schools, and the third one is virtual charter. We've seen pop up a lot with, you know, you have online education is kind of coming to more and more common. And so tuition-free online school funded by the state that takes place in the home. So it's taking a public school at home. Enrolled students are public school students. They are considered public ed by all terms and definitions. So we have public schools one, charter schools two, virtual charters three. Number four is private school. Private school is a non-public school offered somewhere other than the child's home, and the tuition is paid for by the family. Private schools must meet the same number of days as in the public school system. And so one thing to note is some of the private schools do receive taxpayer funds. So we have public school, charter school, virtual charter school, private school. So these are probably ones that growing up, if you grew up in Arizona, you're probably familiar with the terms. You've seen them, maybe met people that have gone to one or the other. The next one is a in particular, has come up recently, has been like a hot topic. And again, we're not here to debate the issue. I, again, want to define it. So Empowerment Scholarship Accounts, which is ESA for short.
And yeah, so but that seems like that's more of a, because you know, you can, because you have to homeschool in order to qualify for ESA, right?
Actually.
Or can you qualify for ESA if you're public school, charter, virtual, and private?
Well, no, great question. That's a good. So you're asking the distinction. And the distinction is if you are taking ESA funding, it actually removes you from the homeschool category. So you are not actually homeschooled. And the reason we're going through this in the order that we are, and we're going to end with homeschooling, is because when Kevin and I are talking about homeschooling, we're approaching from the definition that we're going to provide here.
And let me just throw this in, Josh. Again, this is Arizona State. Now, every state has a different construct on homeschooling. They have different laws, different rules, different regulations. And admittedly, Arizona is one of the is a state with some of the most homeschool-friendly laws on the books. So in other words, if parents choose to homeschool their children, which we're going to define in a minute, it's pretty easy to do for Arizona residents, and they let you do it pretty freely. Some of the West Coast and East Coast states a little more tight on that. I know Ohio's a little more restrictive. What I find funny, before we move forward, though, what I find kind of interesting, and my libertarian roots are kind of showing here, but what I find interesting is that people, I think, at least I did anyway, I just assumed you could homeschool. We live in America, home of the free, land of the free, home of the brave, right? You're free in America. If you want to homeschool your kid, go to public, private, you can do what you want. Well, that is not the truth at all. State governments and federal governments can be, I think, heavy-handed in whether or not you can homeschool your kid or what you have to go through in order to homeschool your children. So let's not assume just because you're in America, you can homeschool without give it a second thought, you know, hey, we're just going to do it. I'm just grateful Arizona is more flexible in that area.
Yeah. And that's, I believe personally, you know, my opinion, you can choose to disagree with me. That's again,
I might, let's hear it. I might disagree. Go ahead.
Arizona, I believe, is the reason they are one of the most free states is thanks to organizations like AFI that do fight legislatively and they just for awareness. And so when we're talking about homeschooling and maybe your call to action when you hear a podcast such as this is, hey, I want to do something that affects the state level, or I want to go, you know, think bigger than just my community. Being on the board with AFI, one thing that my wife and I, our family, were extremely blessed was to go and meet other state leaders. And it is night and day sometimes when I meet people from New York and I hear about the legislation that they're battling every day, or in Texas or California, you know, where I'm like, wow, we have it so good. And I think it's easy to become complacent and lazy in the sense that we don't need to get involved. We don't need to get to know our legislators. We don't need to go to the state capitol today and represent a homeschool. We don't need to write letters because we have it so good, and we are so blessed here in Arizona. And I'm hoping maybe it does inspire somebody to say, hey, there needs to be an awareness to this, or I need to get involved, right? Or maybe there's something you can do.
So as we look at dads being involved in the direction of educating their children, the default, and you know, it just is, the default is the kid hits 5 or 6 years old, boom, you put them in kindergarten in public school. Maybe if you have a, you know, if those who are Christian, Josh, you and I are very openly Christian men, men of faith. We believe God has a plan and a purpose for our life. So sometimes Christian people will say, hey, I'm going to put my child in a private Christian school if they pay the tuition there. So there's different ways to do it. But homeschool is something we want dads who haven't homeschooled yet, but maybe their wives are going, hey, have you think about it? Yeah. We want to encourage them to consider it. Secondly, if dads are in homeschool system already and they're not really sure how to best support and encourage and lead their family, we're here to help them with that. So let's talk about and identify what, or define rather, what is homeschooling? What does that look like when you home educate?
Yeah, so that'll be definition 6. So I'll wrap up ESA here for number 5. So the Empowerment Scholarship Account is a taxpayer-funded program which was created by the state of Arizona legislature to broaden educational opportunities for children with special needs and other special populations. It was expanded in 2017 and it included all public school children, but this expansion may be put on hold until the actual general election, which we've had the results since then. Now, an ESA contract student may enroll in a private school instruction or may be provided by parents or tutors.
So that's money that the state of Arizona is earmarked for special needs.
Yes, okay. Originally. It has broadened. Right. And so it's a separate statute from the definition of homeschool. Okay.
So number 6, let's talk about homeschooling.
Number 6, homeschooling. So that's going to be according to the Arizona Revised Statutes 15-802. It defines homeschool as a non-public school conducted primarily by the parent, guardian, or other person who has custody of the child, or non-public instruction provided in the child's home. That's quote-unquote. So the parents required to file an affidavit of intent to homeschool for their children for the ages of 6 to 16, and then the parent takes full responsibility of their child's education.
That's my favorite line right there. A parent takes full responsibility for their child's education.
And financial
including the financial responsibility. Go ahead.
And then the homeschool student is exempt from standardized testing requirements. There are no reporting requirements for homeschool students, and the parent does not need to be a certified teacher. They create a high school transcript and issue a diploma to their child upon successful completion of the curriculum.
And that, my favorite definition, I love it, because when I read it, I think of a saying that was attributed to Albert Einstein. I don't know if it was. I was never around when he was around, okay? So maybe it's misapplied. But it says, you know, I was really enjoying my education till school got in the way.
That's kind of like the whole you don't start, you stop.
We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. By the way, you're listening to the Dad Zone with Josh Sugata and Kevin Lawrence. It's a podcast for dads, and you can download other archive podcasts on afi.com/dadzone. Is that right, Josh?
It's afi.org.
.org, sorry. Yeah, afi, A-F-H-E, afi.org/dadzone.
Dads.
Just dads?
We're just keeping it simple.
Yeah. Forget the zone. Yeah. Add the dads, /dads. But you'll listen to the Dad Zone with Josh Sugata and Kevin Lawrence. So we're homeschooling, and the definition is that, hey, parents are taking full responsibility for their child's education, including financial responsibility. Now, that kind of makes me laugh a little bit because I go, well, you know, parents, we need to be responsible for our children's education anyway.
Oh, absolutely, no matter
what. But there's something happens that flips in our mind as we go, well, little Johnny, little Susie is 5, 6 years old. We're going to put them in the public school, which, by the way, I went to public. I did a combination growing up. I was private school, and then the last few years I was public schooled. So I've been in both environments. But we just naturally go, okay, off to school, and, kids cry and parents crying. It's a big thing. And then we just kind of move on. And not that that's bad. I think I'm grateful we live in a country, and I want everyone, please listen to me. Highly grateful we live in a country where any child in this country can get an education at no cost. I think one of the best things in America is you can go to school, learn to read, write, understand basic math skills, principles. You can communicate, you can learn basic education, and it costs you nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm grateful for that. The thing is, Josh, people just default that is the only way.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's something that flips in our mind and we go, well, I'm handing my child over to a teacher. And so we kind of abdicate that responsibility for our children's education, right? Mm-hmm. So if our children fall behind, or go to the teacher. Well, it's the teacher, it's the school, it's the system. And then they start being responsible for our children's education. And I'm the guy that waves his hand and goes, whoa, whoa, stop, hold on a second. You're the parent. You have always been and always will be responsible for your children's education, right? That never changes.
Right.
And it was probably about, I'll share a big epiphany. It may not be big for you, Josh, but it was big for me. I had a big epiphany probably about 6 or 7 years into homeschooling. And I realized it's not that we started homeschooling. It's that we stopped homeschooling. Now bear with me as I kind of unpack this. So from beginning, you know, baby's born, they're in the home, and you as the mom or dad or both are teaching them, you know, sit up at the table. Here's your colors.
Look people in the eye when you look shake people their hands, in the eye. Say, you
know,
excuse me.
You can't spit your food all over the table. You got to teach table manners, right? You know how to your potty training. Yeah. You're doing colors. You know, ABC. You're doing basic stuff, and that's homeschooling.
Yeah.
That's being home educated and how to get, you know, you teach your kids. Yeah. And then around that kindergarten age, 5, 6 years old, you go, okay, now I'm done home educating and I'm going to hand you to a person in a system that's going to take it from there. Mm-hmm. And so my thought was, it just came to me one day, we never started homeschooling. We stopped homeschooling. We homeschooled for 5 years, 6 years. And then we turned to the public system and went, okay, now you take it from here.
Yeah.
And Josh, I think really what you and I are saying in our heart is, hey, families, dads, moms, there's a different way and you could continue in that education with your children.
Yeah. Yeah. Ownership. Like you're talking about almost like delegation. You are delegating that to the state or the system, whatever it is, if it's private, if it's public ed, and you're saying, hey, I'm trusting you with this.
Right.
You know, and when I say this, I mean my child, their heart. And so that was one of the most convincing stories for me when I was at that open house that my wife took me to and said, hey, I want you to, you know, check out this homeschooling thing. And I went. There was a father and a wife got up and they said, we were tired of fighting the school system for my child's heart.
Mm.
And then having two young girls,
wow.
I was like, wait, okay, I get it. Because, you know, even when I was a junior high teacher, I fought tooth and nail to have my students stay after class, you know, because I was like, I loved, and I always told people, I said, man, this teaching gig, junior high, I was like, I loved to death, loved the students. I go, it's the parents I have a hard time with because I have the kids, you know, and we would do movie nights. We would do, you know, we would do these things. You know, I was a DJ for their, you know, dances just to keep them on campus because a lot of them didn't want to go home and they would come hang out. And we have these great conversations. We have great behavior. And then you send them home and it's almost like, okay, now they're de-learning whatever manners or social system we've created or these norms. And then I have to start all over the next day. And it's kind of like that homeschool parent. They're like, I was fighting for my child's heart.
That's so powerful. You know, fighting for your kid's heart. And I want to say again too, this is not about Josh and I are, you know, there's a lot of families, Josh, that you and I both know they have to go to use public school.
Absolutely.
Okay, they have to have a two-income family. Mm-hmm. They're just, it's not logistically possible. Right. So again, thank God for public school, charter school, virtual school, private school, whatever way. This podcast is focused specifically for, and the content is around homeschool dads or dads that are thinking about being homeschooled. Because look, there are tens of 20, 30,000 more homeschool dads throughout Arizona and the United States. They're doing their best because they want to fight for their kids' hearts. Yeah. They want to fight for their minds. And they're trying to figure out, how do I best provide that leadership for my wife and my children, especially in today's culture? It's very important for them. So Josh and I are here to encourage you, dads and moms, as you're listening to the podcast, get your husbands to listen, man. We're here on their side. We're not here to beat them up.
No, absolutely not.
This is not about what they're doing wrong. This is how they can be empowered to be stronger leaders and to feel more, I guess, successful in their role as a leader in the family.
Yeah, and even a community of support. Hey, you're not out there alone. You're not on an island. You know, like we're trying to figure this out together. You know, we don't have all the answers.
And so, you
know,
and
you're going to have to laugh at yourself and be willing to laugh at yourself, because there's going to be stories, you know, we're going to share. We'd be like, wow, that wouldn't have done that, you know, myself, or if I were to redo that, I'd do it totally differently. And so I think it's important to point out, like, we're on your side, and even AFI as the organization, the board of directors is fully supporting parents in choosing whatever educational option best meets your child's need.
Right.
So we're not at all trying to present this in a biased way or strong arm anyone into something that they, you know, isn't good for their family.
Right.
And that may change. And that the beauty of homeschool, it can be individualized and custom tailored to that student. Just like every family needs to customize and individualize their schooling options to that family.
And you need to know your kids. I'm going to tell a story here before we close out. I remember one year, my daughter was, at the time, she was like four, mm-hmm. right? And you'll find this out about me as we go on. I say it took me about 6 or 7 years to get deinstitutionalized. And what I mean by that is, again, I grew up in a very rigid private Christian school, and then I went to public school. Mm-hmm. And Josh, I was, hey man, you show up at 8 and you sit in your desk and you keep your mouth shut and you listen and you do your assignment. You just get used to that for 12 years. Mm-hmm. So you think that's the only way to educate, right?
Right.
So, okay, well, we're going to have focus and we're going to have structure and, you know, in my house, so we're going to homeschool, but we're not just going to lay around and do nothing. So I was very focused on structure in my house. And my daughter is learning to read, and she's sitting on my wife's lap and moving around. And I'm the guy that goes, she needs to learn to sit there, control her body, and read. Mm-hmm. And my wife is looking at me going, that is not going to happen, okay? She was just the free spirit, spinning, twirling, playing. That's how she did. Our two older boys, they were prototypical kids. Yeah. Man, sit down, do the work. Sit there until it's done, finish the assignment. That's just their personality, how God made them.
Yep.
My daughter, completely opposite.
Yeah.
So one day I walked in the living room or our school room, and my wife has a poster stapled to the ceiling. And it's vowel sounds, double O, double E, you know, like that. Yeah. And they're in pink, purple glitter. And then there's a word in pink, purple glitter under the vowel sound. So my daughter can learn her vowel sounds while she lays on the floor spinning because she's not going to sit up at the table and read the book.
Yeah.
But she loves to lay on the floor and turn around and hold her toys and all that. And so she's looking up at the ceiling, and my wife is laying on the floor with her saying those vowel sounds. And she learned them. And I was like, not right, not wrong, just different. Yeah. It's what works for your child.
Yeah.
And I believe that God has put into parents to want to teach their children. I think God's put it in their children to want to learn from their parents. That's a whole thing we'll unpack on another show. But the point is, it's about what's going to work for your families, dads, and for husbands and wives to discuss this is a key influencer that we're going to have to unpack on another podcast, but that's an important thing. Dad, you can be a leader by having these conversations with your wife about how your children best learn.
Yeah, and getting through, and it's kind of like as a husband, we need to deinstitutionalize. You're talking about deinstitutionalize with homeschool. We got to deinstitutionalize where we can't delegate this to our wives. We're going to have to advocate for them. We're going to advocate for our families for what's right. And that story is great. Like I have two daughters. My oldest is more by the book, and the same deal. I filled in one day. My wife had to go help out at our chiropractor's office, and so I'm going through a vowel sound, same one, flashcards. My oldest daughter, she sits there. She just reads it herself. Boom, she can say it back to me. My youngest, she literally was jumping around the chair doing cartwheels, but she was on task.
Substitute teacher, I'm playing.
Yeah, but she was focused, and that's how she does them. And her sister's like, Dad, she always does. This is how it, this is how it works. Mommy said it's okay. So I'm like, all right.
And you're sitting there, what's wrong with my kid?
What's wrong?
And your older daughter's like, Dad, that's just how she rolls, man.
Yeah. And so before we get to the takeaway, I just want to say, like, I love laughing at stories of just even from my own life, because I always tell people I am becoming everything I used to make fun of.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we go to the chiropractor, have a naturopathic doctor, don't eat nitrates.
You're sulfites, a freaky organic, homeschool
yeah, exactly,
dad.
Freaky homeschool dad. So join us on this journey, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, you know, we just want you to think. Understand, we're going to be talking a lot about, it's not so much position. We want you to think influence. Okay?
Absolutely.
We really want you to think influence. We want to talk about being an advocate for your wife and for your children, guys. And gentlemen, listen, there's a book written by Fred Sanborn, and the title of the book is You Don't Need a Title to Be a Leader.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of thinking, what's your title, then I can be a leader, it's be a leader to your
leader
family.
First.
Be an influencer to your wife and to your children, and advocate for what they're trying to accomplish. And Josh and I will talk about this more as we go into more podcasts and episodes about how we can break this out. So, hey, you've been listening to Kevin Lawrence and Josh Sugata. And on behalf of everyone here at the Dad Zone, we just want to thank you for listening and be sure to tune in to our next episode. And dads, remember, you are always making an impact. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Dad Zone. Be sure to check out afhe.org/dads to subscribe and view even more resources. That's afhe.org/dads.
Hey, Josh.
Yes, Kevin.
If you see a robbery at an Apple store, does that make you an eyewitness?